All right, everybody. Good to see you. Good to see you, sir. You did a great job yesterday sharing the word. Let's talk about it.
Okay, if you want to.
My team won the ACC Tournament Championship. Got to throw that in there.
I thought we were talking about the message.
Yeah, first of all, we're going to talk about the ACC Tournament.
All right.
My team won, NC State.
Congratulations to the Wolfpack.
Yesterday.
Yes, you did.
Yep.
You dusted that thing off and, you know.
It had some dust on it since 1983 for me.
Oh,
it had
man.
Dust. Yeah.
No, that was good. Congratulations to them. Made it into the big dance now.
Your team is where? What kind of seed did they get?
They got the 4 seed in the South bracket.
Carolina so got a number one seed.
They got the number
right?
one seed in the West bracket.
State's like 11 or 12.
11 in the South. Duke and State are in the same bracket.
That's right. Clemson's in too, right?
They're into
they made it in the West. All right.
Yeah, they're over there with Carolina.
March Madness.
Virginia's in the Midwest, in case you were curious.
That's right. Virginia got in too.
Yep.
That's
so
right.
That's our,
so we got 5 teams.
We got 5 ACC teams in there.
Pretty awesome.
We'll see what happens starting. Well, I guess it really starts Tuesday.
You got your bracket?
Not yet. I mean, I'll print one off and
are
know,
we doing
fill
that
one
in the office this year? The bracket challenge.
That's really up to Michael and John. They kind of lead the charge
Michael
on that.
Michael and John. Yeah, it seems like we are.
Getting
who won
it
last
it?
Year?
That's how much we paid attention to it.
We don't even know remember.
Who. I know I didn't. So
yeah, and no money is changing hands
no,
in this for all
no,
our listeners.
No.
We do not do that here. Just had to say it.
I'm glad you said that.
Anyway, great job yesterday. You shared from Psalm 139.
Yes, sir.
About Lord, search my heart. Thought you did an excellent job on that, and I was moved by it. I loved that you talked about how vulnerable it is to mm-hmm. ask God to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of likened it to, as I was listening to it a couple times yesterday, I likened it in my own mind to like going in for a scan at the doctor.
Right.
I kept saying in my prayer, God, just scan me.
Yeah.
All over.
And I mean, you know, I don't know about anybody else out there, but most people don't necessarily enjoy going to the doctor. Don't enjoy that process, but you know you need it, so you go and you do it anyways. But you never really know what's going to come out of that. You don't. You know, you go get your annual physical and you pray and you hope that everything's good. But you never know what's coming up around the corner. But it is kind of like a little bit of a checkup that you're going to, and you're just asking God to search you and hey, make sure everything's good. Reveal to me anything that's not.
I'd kind of rather do this. This is really stupid, I guess, but I'd kind of rather just not know.
Right.
I'm always kind of worried when they go scan me that they're going to find something because
right.
it's like they're looking for something.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife always challenges me on that. I'm like, I don't want to go have a test. They might find something. She's like, well, if there is something, don't you want them to find it? And I'm like, no, I don't.
Right.
I don't want to know.
Because, you know, living in ignorance is bliss, and if I don't know
I
that it's
so.
If I don't know that it's there, then, you know, I don't have to worry about it. I can just kind of live my life like I've been doing it, and everything seems to be going okay, and I can just keep going until that thing becomes a bigger deal, and it starts affecting your life, which is the same aspects that we're dealing with now. We want to know about, you know, we kind of likened it back to blind spots and not necessarily knowing or being made aware that there's a that we're vulnerable to an attack from the enemy. And so we want to know about those before they do become a big deal, before they cause the crash, as we talked about.
Absolutely. I think if you, just as you go for a scan of your physical body,
mm-hmm.
you need God to give a scan of your spiritual life, because that is who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Even more so than your physical body,
right.
who you are is the spirit that God created. And you need God to scan through that from time to time. And find the things that are unhealthy and diagnose them. That's not a comfortable process.
Oh, absolutely not. I don't know anybody that's going to enjoy that. And, you know, kind of, you know, I haven't enjoyed it. I didn't enjoy it this week. I was talking with somebody, you know, they were coming up and we were talking about the message. And I just told them, this has been a little bit of a wrestling match this week just because it wasn't comfortable for me. You know, one of the things that we talk about is being authentic and being vulnerable from the platform. And you can't get up there and share anything that you're not willing to ask God to do in you first. And so, you know, allowing the Holy Spirit to do some work in me this week was tough as well. And I didn't like it. But at the same time, I know that I'm better for it on the other side of it.
I might be valuable to let the people see a little bit of what we go through to do a message like this.
Sure.
I'm a believer in this, and I know you are too, just from what you said and knowing you for so long, that before you get up there and preach something and give it to people, you need to wrestle through that yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to let God do work in your heart about that truth or that action step, whatever it is that His Word is calling us to do. You've got to let that search your own heart. what was it like this week as you, I know what it's like for me. Right. What was it like for you? Maybe pull the curtain back a little and let people see what you deal with in your own heart before you get up and do that on a weekend.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I tried to, at least in the time frame that we had, be able to share some portions of that, just kind of the aspects of, okay, if I'm gonna ask people to be this vulnerable and ask God to search their heart, then I've got to take time before I can even really, before I dive into the history and the, you know, the contextual part of this and where David was at in his life. I've got to pull back the curtain as much as I don't want to and allow God to begin to search me. And as it's beginning to develop, wrestling with my own worries and that place in my life of, I worry way too much, and find myself not trusting God a whole lot. And that is not something that feels great to admit, to be completely honest. That's not something that I'm proud of at all. Mm. But it's where I'm at, and it's what God's really been hitting me with over my head over and over and over again, because evidently I'm a stubborn individual who doesn't learn things the first time. Mm. And so, man, I sat with the idea of talking about worry for a while this week, and just asking God to help me. Asking God to give me the courage to trust Him more than what I am actually trusting Him, and to lay aside worry. That was a big sitting place for me this week, knowing that I was going to ask people to, you know, stop worrying, pray about it, trust God with it. Man, I've got to be able to walk that out. And I'm not there. I didn't experience this miraculous thing where everything's just A-okay at this point, but I do feel like I've taken steps towards trusting God a little bit more this week. And hopefully that's kind of what we're all doing, is that, man, we're taking you know, those small steps to grow in our faith.
You know, I've heard it said many times, you can't lead people to a place that you haven't been.
Right.
And I think if we're trying to lead them somewhere in a message, we have to go there ourselves. If I'm inviting them to acknowledge, you know, one of the things, search our heart, is God, search out, test my heart, know my anxieties, and that's what you're hitting on now. If we're inviting them to do that, we've got to let God take us to that place.
Sure.
I heard a pastor say something the other day on a sermon I was listening to. He was going through a personal trial, and he said something along the lines, he said, I don't really like to talk about me, so I don't want to make this about me.
Right.
And I immediately thought, oh goodness, we talk about us all the time. And one of the things we do at Upward, and I have, years ago, a woman accused me. She said this. She said, you always talk about you. This isn't about you. And it was really hurt me. Mm. And I really searched my heart on it. And I thought, you know, if I were talking about me to make me a hero,
right,
and to say how great I am and how much better I am than everybody else, that would be a problem. But we have a bit of a philosophy. It's not a written thing. It's not in our core value anywhere. I guess it is in authentic relationships.
Right.
We have this philosophy in preaching that we always sit down with each other, you and I, and Matt and Luke and all the guys. Everybody who gets up and preach, we do it as a team.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not everybody knows that, but we do that. You and I, you look at everything I preach, if you don't know this, every time I go up there on a weekend, Greg goes through it once or twice on a Thursday and helps me sharpen it and helps me find places that are unclear, sometimes gives me a better language to use. And I do that with him, and we do that with the other team. The team members will sit down and preach it for each other and sharpen it, make it better. One of the things we challenge each other on all the time is, you've got to make this personal.
Mm-hmm.
You need to interact with this scripture personally in front of the people. And we push that a lot. So that's very intentional on our behalf and on our part to let you see how we struggled with this, you know. And so often we're battling through the same thing they are. And it's one of the reasons I think people always say Upward is really real.
Mm-hmm.
When I come here, it's real.
Well, I think it's so easy for, you know, pastors, preachers, whatever, to, you know, interact with the text, and there to be this disconnect between the audience and the person who's on the platform, and to kind of get this idea and this image that you're the one who's delivering the message from God, and therefore, you know, you're the expert on it. The reality is that, man, I'm just like the person sitting in the audience. I'm just like the person who's watching online. I'm struggling my way through this as well. And the only way I'm able to share anything about it is because God's taking me through it as well. And so, only reason I got a chance to share about what it means to search me is because man, God's been doing a work in me about, hey, when you pray this prayer, search me, man, there's some stuff that comes along with it.
Yeah, none of us are self-proclaimed spiritual giants.
No.
Or these people who've got it all figured out. We're walking on the journey with people.
Yeah.
And I think that adds a real authenticity to it and a power to it, that people feel like, hey, I can connect with that person up there. And they struggle like I do in some ways.
I think it's one of the reasons why so many people feel like that they know you so well, is because you are so transparent. You are so vulnerable when you're sharing the message and you're talking about how you have, you know, how you've wrestled with this and how God's brought you through this and what God's revealed to you through it. I think more oftentimes than not, when we share an illustration or a story about us and how this text has impacted us, it is oftentimes from a place of brokenness and how God is the one who has done the work in us and is doing the work in us.
That's the case. It really is. I struggled a bit in this psalm with the idea, you know, it opens up saying God essentially says, God, you know everything about me,
mm-hmm.
right? You know everything there is to know about me. Then it goes down and says, search me and know my heart.
Right.
He already said God knew everything about him, and then he's saying, search me, know my heart. It seems like there's a bit of tension there.
Yes.
If God already knows, why does he need to know my heart?
Well, if we don't have an unlimited amount of time when we're up there giving the word, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, but if we go through and we were to
read. That's why we do this.
It's exactly right. If you go through and read the entire psalm, man, Psalm 139, verse 1 through verse 18 is really all about David proclaiming how good God is, that he is all-knowing, that he's all-powerful, that he's everywhere. And then in verses 19 through 22, the psalm takes a little bit of a hard left or right turn there where he just kind of jumps off there and he says, God, our enemies are out there and you need to take care of them. Like, I mean, it's this really sharp turn that takes place in those four verses. Then it swings right back around to verse 23 and him saying, God, search me. And so there is this place of where, you know, David is proclaiming praise to God, and then he takes this real honest turn about how he feels. And then it is, wait a minute, pause. God, search me and know my heart. There's this idea here at the very beginning where he is talking about, God, you know everything about me. But when I'm asking you to search me and know my heart, man, I'm inviting you in to the places that I'm proud of and I'm excited about, where I praise you about. But then as I just verbalized in these other few verses, maybe the areas that I'm not so proud of, maybe the things that I am a little bit embarrassed by, because there's a big difference, as we talked about, between knowing about somebody and then truly knowing someone. And yes, we in our heads, we know that God knows everything and he's the one who created us. But there is a sense of vulnerability and power as well that comes in saying, God, I'm not going to withhold anything from you. I'm not going to try to put up any kind of curtain here to block you from seeing everything about me. Come in and search those dark areas of my life, and I'm going to be vulnerable, and I want you to come in and reveal it to me so that now we can work on this.
Do you think you know yourself better than anybody?
I would say I know me oftentimes, yes, better than anybody else knows me, yes.
Do you think you know yourself? I'm setting you up here.
I realize that.
There is somebody that knows us better than we know ourselves.
Right.
Have you ever, let's say you've been learning, maybe you've been to counseling, maybe you've been being discipled, and you discover something about yourself and have this aha, like, so that's why I do that.
Right. Yeah.
That's why I react like that. Okay. And you all of a sudden understand yourself better. That's mm-hmm. a breakthrough moment
yeah.
when you understand, when you learn something about yourself that you didn't know. It occurred to me while you were preaching this that God knows all that about me already.
Mm-hmm.
And I need him to tell me about me.
Mm. Yeah.
You know?
No, that's good.
Because I form narratives that aren't all always exactly true.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
I walk through a situation and I'll form a story about it in my mind that I tell myself. And I'll start living by that story. But it's a story that I created.
Right.
It's not all a lie, but in my narratives, I'm usually either the hero or the victim.
Right.
I'm never to blame,
right.
normally.
Yeah.
You know, if I create it like my flesh would want to. Have you ever talked to a person who had a narrative about a situation and you're like, they are disconnected from reality.
Yeah, that didn't happen that way. Right. Yeah, you know, absolutely.
Maybe you'll have a conversation with somebody and then they'll go away and their version of the story is so disconnected from your reality. Mm-hmm. What's happened in that case is there's been a narrative created that was more comfortable for them and maybe put a better light on them, and yet they've told themselves that so many times that they believe it.
Hmm.
And here's what I've discovered. God sometimes comes in and interrupts my self-made narratives.
Right.
And tells me the truth. As a loving father,
yeah,
he'll tell me the truth about it, and I need to recognize it and say, oh, okay, that's reality.
Yeah.
God sees it and knows it for what it is, you know?
That's really good. And then reveal those things that, yeah, I like that. That's really good.
Because I can create a story of events and how it happened, and you can too, and mm-hmm. everybody listening can as well. That's the easiest for us to handle, and we live by it, and sometimes we're living out of a false narrative, and God wants to come in and break that.
And we need that.
Boy, I do, and we all do.
Yeah.
You mentioned God reveal my anxieties, and then God reveal my sins.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, that's a tough one.
Yep. That was fun to talk about.
Yeah. No, it's not ever.
All the looks on everybody's faces that were out there. And yeah, that was everybody was really excited about that part, let me tell you.
They were. Here's what I've learned, and let me tell you, I see it more when I'm listening to you preach, or John, or whoever. Matt, or whoever. Yeah. I see it more, and I understand it's really good for me to sit out there and let y'all experience and watch what happens. It's so good for me. Because I do it most weeks, and I don't get to see the whole dynamic.
Right.
But I see what happens is you process something all week long, mm-hmm. and you battled through it in your heart, and you've landed. And it's the first time they're hearing
exactly.
it.
Exactly, yeah.
And they're true. Like, oh, okay. And they're trying to struggle with it, and I do this too. I'm like, come on, get it, people. Say amen, get it. And people have told me this before. They're like, Pastor, we're with you. We're just processing that because God's working on us, you know.
And
I want them to jump in. It's hard when you start talking about your own struggles and your own sins. We've all got them.
We've
all got areas that we're struggling with and things that we're trying to give to the Lord and lay down before Him. You know, I think everybody has dealt with that at some point or another in their Christian walk, and many Christians are today.
We do. I think one of the other things, and I don't know that I said this as clearly as maybe I wanted to, but I think, man, there's the big sins that are out there that, you know, that we try to stay away from, right? But then there's these other things that we struggle with, and I think we just get comfortable with it. It just becomes a part of our normal rhythms, right? And it's those things, it's those areas, those things that we have just learned to live with and become comfortable with that end up being the things that really cause us to crash, that cause that stumbling block for us. It's not the big stuff. I mean, we know about the big stuff, but it's the things that we just learned to live with.
Yeah. It's the little stuff that leads to the big stuff a lot of times. You know, if you make little compromises in your walk, you know, little things you know that shouldn't be a part of your life that you leave there.
Right.
And you just get comfortable with them. They lead to cracks that turn into some
cause the foundation to shift.
Big problems.
Yeah, absolutely. You know?
I loved your encouragement to invite people just to invite the Lord into those places and let Him set them free, you know. Because a lot of times people are carrying around a whole lot of shame.
Mm-hmm.
They come to church and think, you know, I failed again. I don't want this for my life. I can be better. I want to do better. And yet they continue to struggle with that.
Right.
What's your word to them coming out of this message?
Well, man, coming out of the weekend, I knew that it was going to be heavy, but man, it felt heavy in those moments yesterday. Man, my hope and my prayer is that after hearing the message and having an opportunity to wrestle with it, is that people wouldn't continue to still feel that this was an extra heaping of guilt and shame on them. That was not the intention nor the heart by any of what was said this week, nor is it on any weekend. But it really was this idea of if we will get to the place where we're willing to be courageous enough, to be vulnerable enough to say, God, search me. I'm willing. I'm ready. Search me. Reveal it to me. That it would be a moment of forgiveness. Man, I truly believe that, man, when we invite God's forgiveness into our lives, there is a sense of healing and freedom that takes place in that. We live, and as we kind of get used to it, we don't even realize how much guilt and shame we live with over those things that we have just, you know, over those sins we've just learned to kind of operate in. But man, there is a sense of freedom and just the weight that gets released when we bring it before God. We bring it into the light, and we allow Him to cover it with His grace. Man, there, and I want that for people. Man, I want that desperately for people who are struggling, man, to have a sense of God's forgiveness and God's healing in their life. And so that's my prayer, is that people would experience that.
I loved how you made it. It was an invitation. I have learned this over the years. Shame will never lead you to freedom. Hmm. Never. Shame and guilt never lead you to freedom. They drive you deeper into bondage. Yep. You know, I'm thinking about episode of The Chosen I saw not too long ago of Peter walking on water, you know, and he sank, and it's a beautiful representation. One of the beautiful, spoiler alert if you haven't seen it, but one of the beautiful visuals in that that's coming to mind now is when Peter was underwater, there's a shot of Jesus' hand just going down into the water, right, and his hand is just extended to Peter, you know, a beautiful shot. But to me, that's what was happening yesterday. And what happens so many times, that Jesus is not pointing a finger down at you, right, saying shame. He's putting His hand down, inviting you to come out of that, inviting to lift you to a higher place. And when I see His, it's so easy for me to picture Jesus looking on me like, shame on
right.
you.
Oh,
you
yeah. Know? Oh, yeah.
Like, shame on you. And I've done that, and that's been, I've allowed that mindset in my life for a while, you know. But when I begin to see Jesus is not pointing down at me, He's holding His hand down to me to pull me up. Mm. That's when I come out of those things.
That is so good. And man, if we could get that picture of Jesus doing that very thing, right? It's not the finger wag. It's not you're in trouble. You've messed up again. But it's let me pull you up.
Yeah.
That's so good.
I think it's something I struggle with so much. You know, we talked about this on Thursday. Mm-hmm. You were talking about the Holy Spirit coming to you. And
you challenged me on it.
I challenged you
that.
Thursday night afterwards. But I think, let's talk about it. We often do this too. If I see something or you do that you think needs to be worked on, sometimes we'll say, hey, think about this.
Oh, absolutely.
So after Thursday, and I laughed early service because I saw you filtering it, and I just wanted to say, you got it. But you said Thursday, you were talking about when you were really angry at this person, mm-hmm. and it's like you were preparing a message on forgiveness, mm-hmm. and you said the Holy Spirit was like, Greg, you're a hypocrite.
Right.
And I got with you at the back, and I said, that doesn't quite sound like the Holy Spirit to me.
Right.
You know, there might be some that listen and say, well, the Holy Spirit can certainly tell you. And He certainly can.
Sure.
I think Jesus could come to you and say, Greg, here's what I would hear Jesus saying. My son, that's the first thing He would say. My son, you're about to preach on this. Mm-hmm. Let me invite you to experience this.
Right.
And if you're not willing to invite this into your heart, you can't share it.
Right.
I can hear Jesus saying that.
You said some words Thursday night that kind of, it was like, I don't know that the Holy Spirit would speak that condemnation, but it was more of an invitation. You know?
Yes, yes.
Those were some of the words that you were using. And as I kind of left here, I heard those words, but I don't know that I was really paying attention all that well. But it was later that night when I got home and kind of letting everything settle, those words just kept ringing around in my head. So appreciate that for your words continuing to ring in my head.
I went home thinking, Greg did such a great job, and I don't even think the only thing I got was that.
No, but I mean, it was good. I think that it was right, and you're right. I did kind of try to filter it through Sunday through that lens as well.
It was good.
Because it was my interpretation of it. It was in that moment and in that time, it was like, I am hearing this. I'm not backing off of the fact of what I felt in that moment.
Absolutely.
But it really wasn't the Holy Spirit pointing a finger at me. And it goes back to that image, right? I'm disappointed in you for not getting through this sooner. I'm disappointed in you that you would even think about sharing about forgiveness when you're still struggling with it in your own life. It's the finger wag, right? But the invitation was, let me invite you. Let me bring you up to healing. Let me invite you and bring you up to a place of where you can forgive this individual, not for them, but for you.
I grew up in a tradition where we received words from God a lot. You know, mm-hmm. people would speak to the congregation, you know, a word, a prophetic word. And I think many of them were from God. Mm-hmm. probably a majority of them were not a majority. Several of them were just what people thought.
Right.
And I remember a lot of this, and I joke about it. It ticks people off sometimes when I say this, but hey, in this. Let's go. A bunch of messages that I heard that were, quote, from God were summed up like this. Church, I'm coming back, and I'm ticked off.
Right.
If you don't straighten up, I'm coming back, and I'm going to clean house with all of you.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
And I'm not denying Jesus' challenge. I mean, you read the letters to the churches in Revelation, some straight talk. And
absolutely.
I'm not saying Jesus can't do that or won't do that. I mean, he is the Jesus that flipped tables. And, you know, he comes in sometimes and confronts us directly about sin. But I'm afraid I got an image growing up of this God who was just always disappointed in me,
mm-hmm.
you know, because my flaws were always so evident. And there just comes a time when you got to realize he loves you.
Yep.
He's here picking you up. Yep. He's the one that's going to make this happen, not you're going to straighten up. He's going to if you allow him. So I think it's a challenge for us, especially if you've been raised in church a long time.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, you know, once again, who is he, man? He's our Father.
Yeah.
I mean,
he is.
I mean, when we boil it back down to it, man, he is our Father. And man, you know, not disappointed, not constantly coming back to you and saying you messed up again, but let me invite you to something bigger. Let me invite you to something better. And constantly extending that hand through the water to bring us up. That's
good. I asked a guy just the other day, he's in a situation and he just really needs help and he needs to hear from God. And I prayed with him and I texted back and forth with him. And I asked him this question. I said, what do you think if Jesus were sitting across from you right now, what would he say? And he told me what he thought Jesus would say. And then he said this. He said, it's the same thing I would say to my son in this situation. Mm-hmm. And I said, man, you've hit on something so powerful. Often as a father, what you would say to your son is what Jesus is actually saying to
you. That's
really
good.
So that's his heart. Great job. Next week, we're going to continue on with Send Me.
Yep.
And then after that, it's Easter.
Easter.
What are we talking about on Easter?
I have no idea.
You should know.
It's a big surprise.
You should know.
Nope.
It's me talking about it, but I expect you to know.
Yes, sir.
We're calling it Look Again.
Yep.
And we're inviting people who have been working on this message. We're inviting people who may not have recognized Jesus in their lives to take another look.
That's good.
Because he's actually there. You just haven't always seen him.
That's exactly right.
So it's going to be fun.
No, we're excited about
it. Easter's going to be fun.
Yep.
Five services Easter, Thursday night. And then on Easter Sunday, I have no idea. It's really not even going to be helpful for me to tell you the service times. Here's what I'm going to tell you about Easter Sunday. Just sometime between 8 and 12, you show up.
There'll be a service that'll start.
Greg's getting really nervous now. If you get here and you miss something, it will be back around within an hour and 15 minutes. It'll be back again.
Well,
so
just so everybody's aware, let me give you the service times. They are Sunday morning as well. 8 o'clock, 9:20, 10:40, and 12 o'clock. 8 a.m., 9:20, 10:40, and 12 are our service times on Sunday morning, and of course, 7 o'clock on Thursday night. Those are the service times.
I can tell everybody will not remember that outside
of
this room.
Don't expect you to.
I will be here about 7 o'clock Easter Sunday, and I'm going to be in the lobby shaking hands, and when Greg comes and says, get up there, that's when I'm going to get up there.
And we are. Hey, one thing real quick, too. We have one weekend. We're doing Send Me this weekend.
Yep.
But we also have baptisms going on this
19.
Weekend. Nope, we had one more that signed 20. Up yesterday. We're at 20.
We like those even numbers.
That's exactly. So 20 people being baptized this weekend. Man, I am so pumped for that.
I'm excited. 20 people getting baptized.
That's pretty cool.
Good stuff.
Yep.
Love you all. Thanks for listening today. We'll see you again next time.
Bye-bye.